One could say the whole gospel is a movement toward those with hearing turning their ears and making them deaf, and those that cannot hear are hearing the good news. What makes an ear open to hearing God? What makes for a closed ear? What mouths are actually glorifying God, and what things are we saying that are not? Jesus is, again, journeying. Tyre is up in the north, and Sidon, above Israel, pagan area. Jesus was there to get away. He's made a journey through Israel, northern Israel, and kind of a long, circuitous journey. And remember, Israel is about the size of the Willamette Valley, basically. And so he's gone to the Decapolis region. This is an area on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's this town, this area is mostly pagan. They went there to get away from the crowds looking for a healing. And Jesus has got these people following him everywhere. Must have driven the disciples nuts. And even in these places where they're pagans, they hear about Jesus, and they're coming bringing this very dramatically. A deaf man with a speech impediment. Seems to me probably the man could not hear, so therefore he didn't know how to talk, you know, had never really heard speech, so didn't have the ability to, like we all do, to adjust their vocabulary to what we should be saying. So Jesus has a lot of pity on this man, but he takes him off by himself and does something you don't hear in any other gospel. Mark's gospel is filled with very rich detail, and he takes the time to put in eyewitness details, probably got them from St. Peter. So Mark tells us what nobody else does. Instead of Jesus just putting his hands on him and healing him, he pulls him away from this crowd. He says, come over here by myself for a little bit. If I do an anointing of the sick after Mass, sometimes I'll say, let's go into the cry room and just get away from people here for a little bit, have a little privacy while we pray. And Peter or somebody was watching this. And he puts his ears in. Can you imagine this? He says, stick out your tongue. And he spits on it. How about that? And then he looks up to heaven and groans. He goes, Ephrata. Very dramatic, huh? Believe it or not, we do something like this at baptism for babies. And an adult told me that they had it done when they came into the church 50 years ago. We don't do it at the Easter Vigil. That's all I know. That's when I usually bring adults into the church. But when a baby is baptized, there's an optional little bit at the end, depending on how it's gone, we'll put that in which we pray over the baby's ears and mouth, that the ears will be open to hear God as it grows, or little child, and that their mouth will be open to proclaim the goodness of God. And if that baby's been howling and crying, I don't pray for his mouth to be open, because it's not needed. That's the truth. And I can tell you, I do not touch the baby's ears, and I certainly don't spit on its tongue. But it goes back to this reading, and it's like, Lord, can you open my ears to hear you, my tongue to proclaim you? The ears, the mouth, the eyes, this is how we see and hear, how we act. And so from the moment of our baptism forward, we are consecrated to God, and we have to pray for an open ear to hear all of the message of the Holy Spirit for us each week. So many people come to God looking for a physical healing, and they miss the spiritual one God wishes to give them. I have to make note of the fact that the Pope is coming, I guess, at the end of the month. That's what it is, isn't it? Dates and dates aren't too good, but I don't know. Wait till noon, I'll know when the date is. He's been in the back of the church here for 2 months now. But, you know, when he comes, he's going to just address the joint session of Congress. I don't believe a Pope has ever done that before. And he's going to address the United Nations, which has happened before. And he's going to do a few other things. I challenge you to read everything he's going to say and not get your information from the media. They're going to pick out some little passage, take it out of context, blow it up. That's all anybody's going to talk about. I guarantee you, this is what they're looking for. His Pope is good with that. And he's getting attention that way. But we as Catholics should read the whole thing because it's going to be very interesting. It's an historical moment for our church using Lincoln's Gettysburg Address podium and the whole nine yards. It's a very interesting moment for the church. It's going to be challenging. But read the whole thing. There's a lot of ways we can do that. Zenit, Catholic News Agency. If there's others, somebody can let me know. I read his stuff all the time, the whole thing. But there again, am I open to hearing what God is really saying, or am I getting my information from someplace else? Again, we have coming up here a very interesting month in October when Father Mike Scallon and Sister Breege McKenna will be here. I would venture to say that Sister Breege is one of, if not right at the top of the most prominent Catholic women religious speakers in the country today, in the world today, excuse me. And we're very fortunate to have her here. She and Father Scallon speak very well, but on Thursday they're going to have a healing service. She's known for her being a facilitator of God's healing. She'll be the first to tell you that she's not doing anything, but healings occur when she's praying. They're going to have a Eucharistic healing service, not unlike what we do when we do ours, but she's a focus for God's healing. And people are going to come, and I'm telling you this so you get here early. I want all my parishioners to come because this mission is for us, right? So we want to get in. But what I'm saying is, what are people going to ask for when they get in here? Oh, God, please heal my family, which is good. My elbow, Jorge, our Hispanic minister, broke his leg in three places yesterday, Friday. And so I went there. It's a terrible thing. 2 months off. And I, you know, of course, his family will be praying for a speedy healing. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't need healing of something? That's what I thought. But who asks for a spiritual healing? Isn't that more important to God? Who prays? For 25 years, I prayed that God would heal my speech. Did I ever pray, oh God, heal what's coming out of my mouth? I can tell you I didn't. And I think God was waiting for me to say that. He says, you know, you got it backwards. You take care of my things, I'll take care of your things. Instead, I say, Lord, heal me, and then I'll do your will. The Lord says, no, do my will, and then I'll heal you. You see, because the thing is, God has an eternal vision. I brought this thing, I wasn't going to use this, but somebody asked me after Mass, what is this doing out here? I didn't bring this because it's got a cheesy hand on it, although it is kind of funny. Reminds you of the Addams Family, doesn't it? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're too young. But I keep this on my desk. I don't know why I bought this, but what it says is, I'm going to put this here, Lord, forgive me. The future depends on what we do in the present. We're living now in the future that we envisioned or did not vision in the past. If we're young, that's a very short timeline. I've said this before, but when I was 34, I had this saying and a few others on the dining room table, and I said to Ben, I just had a birthday yesterday, I said, when I'm 50, which seemed impossibly long away at the time, and I said, who is this person and what must I do so that that person exists? Because without me making the right decisions, they will not exist. That's how I came to be with you. It was precisely that. I didn't want to retire in the airline industry. And most of my coworkers are now retiring. I've got work to do, but they're retiring. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But this kind of visioning is what the hearing and speaking is all about. What I say becomes a reality in my life. If I'm a negative person, I'm always running people down, I'm finding the worst in people and broadcasting it everywhere, and I can't forgive, and I'm never going to stop forgiving, I'm never going to stop talking about, I'm becoming a negative person. What am I going to be in the future? Is that what I want to be when I get older? You know, I don't vision 25 years in the future anymore. I may be around, I may not. In terms of earthly time, I vision a shorter period. When we vision a saint is, it's usually more like a five-year timeline. But in reality, we're already living in eternity, and we should be visioning for the world to come. God sees us in eternity. He knows we've all got issues. We've all got physical or emotional or financial or family or work problems. And, you know, the Lord can't wait to heal these people in the gospel. And he wants to heal us too, but I think a lot of us, we either have something we have to go through in life with someone or for someone, whether it's God or our spouse or our children or our parents. We have to suffer to get where we want to go in life. We have reversals, but it's all part of God's plan because he sees us in the future as what we will. He wants us to be in heaven, in the perfect spot for us. And it all depends on what we're doing now. Once we're finished with this life, it's over forever. So this is the future we're visioning. And so I just imagine the Lord standing in front of everyone. And many of you actually had the Lord in the person of the priest or the deacon who baptized you, literally praying over your ears and your mouth that God will open your mouth to proclaim his praise, not negativity all day long, and secondly, to open your ears to really hear. I really want St. Ed's, of all people, we should really listen to all the Pope says when he comes here and not the sound bites in the media. I'm tired of them pulling things out of context and blowing them up. We should be listening to everything. And the same is true with the gospel. Every one of these things is extremely challenging, you know, but it's also very encouraging. The Lord can't wait to heal us. Many of us will come on next month to the mission, which is extraordinarily exciting. A lot of the priests and dice can't figure out how we got her to come. I said, well, I looked at it. You know, she's coming. She said yes about the same week I got that little relic of St. Clair. She's a poor Clair. I wonder if there's a connection. Are you listening to God? Doesn't he speak through little coincidences like that? Don't you think that might be God? That's how God speaks to me. And we pray the Lord will open our ears to really hear him in our daily lives. And if we're listening in the gospel, we're going to get more tuned into what God's really doing. And then, you know, last week was a terrible week. I won't go into it, but I went to a nursing home and found, well, I will say it, the nurse from heaven was there. And but, you know, in the midst of daily ups and downs, what we speak is what we're going to get. What we hear is what will nourish us. Can the Lord open my ears to hear? May he, figuratively speaking, spit on my tongue so that it can begin to be purified. And then by putting God first, all these other things begin to straighten out. And even if we have something we have to go through that isn't healed, we know that God is looking in eternity. This is a very temporary situation. You know, we've all got something to go through, but God wants us to see things as he does. This person in the gospel is all of us. Jesus taking you by yourself. What does he really want to heal? What is it he really wants to do for you? Every Eucharist is a healing service. What do you want God to do for you? Is it physical? Because God may have something else in mind. But he's always working on us. We just pray, Lord, take away our speech impediments so we can really proclaim you with our mouths and not run you down or others. Open our ears so we can hear you, all that you're saying. Be open to it and rejoice in eternal life. Amen.